The old Erie Canal. Sing it, Pete Seeger. From Albany to Buffalo, it's not actually the size that could ever take a Chinese mega container ship. From 1825, the canal's construction back then was an engineering marvel and a DIY project worthy of Silicon Valley 170 years later. The canal is now not much more than a tourist attraction kept afloat by the 21st century service industry, but a new book looks back at the fusion of religion, economics, and politics that happened during the canal's initial years, when strange ideas came to backwoods New York to foster new distinctly American ways of commerce, even new religions. I said at the beginning of the hour that the Erie Canal actually paved the way for the cartoon comedy South Park.
All right, kids, now how about we do some scripture readings from the Book of Mormon?
All right!
Ow! That's right. Child of the canal, Joseph Smith, created Mormonism. Without Smith, I think it's safe to say, no South Park, no Book of Mormon. All right, that maybe is a stretch. But the book that really explains all of this is called Heaven's Ditch, God, Gold, and Murder on the Erie Canal, and its author is Jack Kelly, who says that the visionary energy along the Erie Canal helped create modern America.
I was interested in the sort of outbreak of visionary energy that came about along the path of the Erie Canal after it opened. I think what connects a lot of the people that I talk about in the book is the idea of youth. We look back and see these images of people in those days with the mutton chops and the frock coats. But the people that went to the canal were really young people. They wanted a new religion. They wanted a new type of politics, ranging from Joseph Smith, who founded Mormonism right on the canal, to Charles Finney, who was the Billy Graham of the 19th century, and also just oddballs like Sam Patch, who was America's first professional daredevil. And Andrew Jackson actually named his horse Sam Patch, I guess because he was a great jumper.
That's so amazing. Part of this visionary youthful business relates to the actual building of the canal, in the sense that the canal was a DIY kind of a project that in many ways it was dug using very primitive technology, and it was the absence of cement that really held up the canal. And explain how the canal itself would be built for a while and then would stop as they awaited the kind of cement that they would need to build the locks, which is, of course, essential for any canal.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing to think today that the canal cost between $7 and $8 million at the time. Projecting the cost of labor in today's dollars, some people project that to be about $174 billion with a B. For the state to set off on a project like that and not really even know where they're going to get the materials, not have professional engineers. Well, there were no professional engineers, and it was planned and pretty much built by amateurs who learned on the way. And I think the reason for that, that these people were so adaptable, was that they were men of the frontier, and you really had to have a lot of self-sufficiency and inventiveness in order to cope with the sort of improvisation of going up against nature and the frontier. Things as simple as how do you pull out a stump of a tree that in these virgin forests, you have trees 150 feet high. I think that they were, some very creative minds went to work there, and they solved every problem they came up against and completed the canal in 8 years, which people were amazed it was able to build it that quickly.
Creative mind doesn't even begin to describe what Joseph Smith was all about, though. On some level, Mormonism itself is this dramatic metaphor for the settling of the West and the creation of what we understand as this American Western spirit.
Yeah, I think that, people were looking for something new. Like a lot of people, I was a little skeptical when I started reading about Joseph Smith, who was the founder of the Mormon religion. He found the golden plates and translated the Book of Mormon. There's a strangeness to his vision that makes it a little bit inaccessible to us today if we're not Mormons. In reading about him and researching him, I came to really appreciate him as one of the great imaginative geniuses of the 19th century. First, to produce the book, which was 600 pages, had more than 300 characters, plots within plots, flashbacks, a great epic story, and then to take that book and form a religion around it. And this is a young man who was a farm laborer and had very little education. It was an incredible achievement. This almost boggles the mind.
The claim is made that New York, as a financial center, became that way because of the canal, because of the success of the canal and the trade implications of that. Is that true? And is there a place in New York City where you can see some sort of tangible evidence of the canal's influence on Wall Street?
To go back and look at the situation when the canal was proposed, New York State was a relatively small state. We have to remember New York City was still just at the tip of Manhattan and the Hudson Valley, and that was pretty much all. The rest of New York State was largely undeveloped. And so it was a great risk for the state to put the substantial portion of all the capital in the state into one project. And they went through New York City to sell bonds, to attract capital. And not only did it make New York City the financial capital, which it remains today, but the flow of goods through the city made it into the greatest port.
What was shuttled up and down the canal, and who travels the canal today?
Well, the commercial traffic on the canal, which brought lumber, coal, and hay, as they say, down from the interior, and manufactured goods and immigrants, and many both foreign immigrants and people from New England and New York and the East Coast who wanted to travel to the West. That was the great commercial traffic of the Erie Canal. And today it's largely a tourist attraction. It's still kept open. The locks are available for any pleasure boat or yacht that wants to go down. It has a certain viability, and it's certainly a wonderful artifact of the 19th century, though it's not commercially viable anymore.
Jack Kelly is the author of Heaven's Ditch, God, Gold, and Murder on the Erie Canal. He spoke with us from Albany, New York, the site of the original beginning of the canal. Jack Kelly, thanks so much.
Thank you, John. Pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.